use of mafia pasta, SCPs, and other creepy odd tales brought to you by the folks at the Long Coat Mafia Podcast.
Roderick stared out of the church window, looking at the rays of sun projected through the few trees surrounding the humble one-story structure. "It's too beautiful to stay inside today," he thought. He turned to his mother and the other survivors and grinned. "Let's go out while there's still a couple of hours of sun." He was unsurprised to see the children grow excited while the adults fidgeted nervously, trying to think of a reason not to. "Don't worry. We chose this place for a reason. We have a clear view of the road, and there aren't enough structures to hide anything, remember?" With that, they agreed and stepped outside. How long had it been? Over 2 years? But the exact day was undeterminable, since no one kept a calendar. A few scouts were chosen from the adults to watch the roads and surrounding houses that sparsely littered the surroundings while the children played on the playground, having momentarily forgotten their fears. Still, they stuck together in a small, safe clump. Roderick leaned back on the nearest tree and tried to recall exactly what day the gate to hell had opened. All at once, it came flooding back to him. April 16, 2019. A sinkhole had opened up in Guatemala, and a team of four amateur spelunkers decided to take a tour of the insides. What they found sparked international amazement, artifacts, and cave art. Not just that, but bones and what appeared to be sacrificial altars. All the signs of life had been there, but underground in a cave that had been concealed until a random part of the surrounding area had fallen through. Linguists, journalists, professional spelunkers, archaeologists, and local anthropologists specializing in Aztec and Mayan culture showed up to finish exploring the cave and decipher the art and artifacts left behind. As is with most scientific discoveries, the fervor died down until every one of the five spelunkers who had attempted to reach the last corners of the vast cave disappeared. More spelunkers were sent in, as it was assumed they were simply lost. They weren't found after a week, and all had assumed they perished in the never-ending darkness. After that, no one was allowed in the unexplored portions. But after the second week, three of the missing spelunkers appeared at the mouth of the sinkhole, squinting and silent. They were taken to the hospital and interrogated on the whereabouts of the others, but none of them would ever speak. No signs of malnourishment or physical harm. Their psyches seemed fine, besides the silence and the fact that they always turned their room lights off when the nurses and doctors left. It was chalked up to trauma. After that, more people would go missing in the sinkhole, but portions of them would return again after 2 weeks, silent and squinting. Some of them seemed to hate the light altogether, but others handled it better. After release from the hospital, their behavior became quite strange, and the sinkhole was closed off entirely after the survivors were found to be taking everyone they knew into the caves at night and disappearing for 2 weeks. It was how they spread, how they left the cave. They didn't close the cave fast enough, and the creatures had successfully infiltrated our world with their populations and began breeding and spreading worldwide. What little humans were left were forced into hiding, especially nighttime when even the sensitive ones could roam free. It was a tricky situation, for some humans, mostly children, and the elderly were eaten while others, mostly the young, able-bodied, were used for their skin. A perfect disguise. Some people even speculated that they must have established a breeding farm of humans. Otherwise, how else could they sustain their growing numbers and the need for food and the skin that protected them from the sun? Other questions never got answered. How were they able to seal the skin so well? How were they able to perform tasks that humans did, such as driving and dressing themselves? Roderick personally assumed that they were able to take their hosts' memories and motor skills, which why they were young and elderly never showed up as skin suits. No one actually knew, though it was an unprecedented evil that no one could have expected. As Roderick remembered all of the horrors, a new horror appeared, an SUV approaching from behind the church. The scouts saw it too. They started grabbing the kids. They were lucky. Since it was approaching from the rear, they had time to hide. Now, only dozens of meters away, only Roderick was left outside, running to the door. Sally had other plans, however, and struggled to go in. "My doll!" she was crying and screaming. All the other children knew better, but she was only two and didn't understand the creatures. No one had told her that their sensitive, cave-dwelling eyes also yielded them sensitive ears. Having no other choice, Roderick turned and grabbed the doll and threw it into the doorway. "Still have that throwing arm from football," he mused. But it was too late for him, and the others knew it. They shut themselves in the church as he watched the SUV close the last few kilometers until it was stopped next to him. Inside, a sheriff was staring at him and lifted a walkie-talkie. Roderick thought, maybe he isn't one of them. But as soon as it began speaking, he knew. Clicks and gurgles. Despite gaining everything from their hosts, the creatures never caught on to the nuances of the human dialect. Their lack of ability to speak other than clicks and a few throat noises was the only thing that made them identifiable. Roderick knew what he had to do, so he ran, parallel to the church and perpendicular to the road. He hoped the creatures would follow him and therefore wouldn't search the church. Assuming he hadn't heard Sally's cries, there were only a few trees around the church, but it was enough that the creatures would have to pursue him on foot. He ran for blocks, but being cooped up had left Roderick out of shape, and the creatures was gaining. He knew he would have no choice but to hide and hope that the house he chose didn't contain sleeping creatures. With his legs and lungs burning, he made a sharp right and hopped a fence. Sneaking into the house through the unlocked back door and praying the thing would hope, he kept running. He opened a bedroom door without a click, and then they were sleeping creatures, clinging to the walls with their stubby fingers and toes. They were gray and papery looking, with ear holes instead of ears, only slightly smaller than the typical human woman, and there were a lot of them. He quietly walked away, and luckily for him, the second room was empty, but it was already dark, and they would wake soon. They couldn't smell for shit, so as long as he remained hidden and silent, he would be okay. The empty room wasn't truly empty. Instead, it contained dozens of items of clothing piled up. which he buried himself under to wait out the night. Roderick heard footsteps and thought, "Fuck! How did he find me here?" He weighed his options. Stay and hope the thing was there to socialize with other creatures or run for his life. Again, he opted for the former. Knowing he was out of energy and outnumbered, he had a nervous stomach, and the churning of its contents gave him away. He knew their ears were good, but he didn't know they could hear gases forming in a person from rooms away. The last thing he remembered was the sheriff approaching him from a small gap between shirts. Then he was jerked out, fighting and clawing, and attracting the now awoke horde into the room with him. In the fight, the sheriff scratched him too, and one of the gray monsters spit on his wound, and it began to suture itself without even a scar remaining. So that's how they seal themselves back up. 2 weeks later, Roderick stood squinting in front of the church that he had left the other survivors in. This story was titled "They Came From Below," and it was written by Jason Akel. I think that's how he pronounces his last name. It is spelled A-C-K-L-E. I hope you enjoyed this story. If you liked this story and want to hear other stories like it, a lot of these creepypastas tend to be about 10 to 15 minutes apiece, which makes a short episode, which I don't like. Personally, I don't like, but if you our listeners, enjoy them, I'll read them. I'll keep them between 10 to 15 minutes or a little bit longer if I could remain awake long enough to do so. We have another recording coming up. It's going to be our hostful. Hopefully, it's our hostful. Please stay tuned. Again, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I am the main host and frontman for the show, Reverend Godfather, and you just listened to another episode, creepypasta type episode. Take care. Hope you guys enjoy, and gals, enjoy your evening or whenever you listen to this episode. Take care.
It's shocking, humiliating, and it's unacceptable.
Oh, come on. It's a classic. The only show in the world that gets better the more it's rerun.
Do I get a choice?
No! No!
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Okay, people, move along. There's nothing to see here.